We're the all-new Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
And good afternoon, Coleman. Welcome to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman. That last song, a great example of what we play here. That by a band named Toto. Most of you are probably familiar with their tune, Africa. Well, that particular tune was called 99. Not their most popular tune, but yet a pretty good tune that we share with you here on Live 95. So it is 4 o'clock on a, what is this, Tuesday? Thursday? This is a Thursday. And that's when we do Sports Talk Live here at Live 95. This show brought to you a service in part of People's Bank, where they sponsor Weir's Moolah. And if you would like to sponsor this show or any other part of Live 95, send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com. You can also visit our website at live95coleman.com. And now your hosts for the day, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thank you, Jay. I'd like to welcome everyone back, and Ronnie, my partner in crime, welcome back again on a Thursday.
Thanks, Jason. Did you have a good day today?
Hey, it was a good day, a beautiful day. A
gorgeous day.
For August.
Felt like,
beat it.
Felt like fall this morning, didn't it?
Man, yeah. Hey, other than in calling one of my bosses this morning at 4:20 by accident, everything else has been okay.
Yeah. That could be a little bit of a problem, couldn't it?
Luckily, he didn't answer the phone It was a call from yesterday afternoon.
4:30. If he looks close, it'd be a.m., not p.m.
Yeah, a.m. Definitely a.m.
Oh, so, man.
At that time of the morning, though, you can't be held responsible for anything.
No,
you do.
No. You just can plead forgiveness over that.
Hey, Ronnie, got a lot of good things coming up on today's show. 4:30, Alvin Bressler, former Auburn star, play with Pat Sullivan, Terry Beasley.
Yeah, looking forward to hear from Alvin. I think I've met him, or you've told me about Alvin before, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say.
Alvin, known Alvin for a lot of years, great guy, also a track star at Auburn, and folks, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, he's got a voice you will never forget when you hear him. He is one of a kind. At 5 o'clock, Dan Vosta with Campus Insider.
The man of a walking encyclopedia.
That's
of
it.
Sports knowledge.
That's it, man. He has got it, and we've got several questions lined up for him today, see what he has to say. And just confirmation today on someone else we're going to have on the show in the next week or so, Rick Carley, Fox 6, will join us.
That is a huge get for us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow, Rick Carley.
Real nice about it. Just simply sent him a question, asking if he would join us, and he was very nice about it and accepted the offer, so we just got to work out a time that'll fit his schedule.
That's great.
So other than that, we're going to be talking SEC football. We'll work in out in left field, probably be later on in the show.
Later today, because we've got so much going on in it, Jason.
I'm not sure about Moolah yet. Look for an announcement about that Tuesday. Cindy still got me thinking, so I'm going to figure that out. And we will have an announcement Tuesday on Where's Moolah, sponsored by People's Bank.
Thank goodness for People's Bank.
Figured that up, Ronnie, and Cindy has won $300 four out of five times we've had it. She has been the finder of the
money. Hey, I tell you what, like I said, she's going to have to fill out a 1099.
I'm telling you, Cindy. So
she's gonna be paying tax on that IRS bill.
Oh yeah,
her.
We'll report her.
Yeah, we're gonna report it. So. Yeah, exactly. We're gonna send her at 1099.
Hey, you hear, Ronnie, urban legends from Auburn, Alabama games, tales.
Yeah.
Some of it true, some of it not true. So actually, Cindy helped us out this time. Sent me a little information on Facebook.
Where's she out to?
Yeah, we're going to go over it. And some of this I've never heard of. Some of it I have heard, and I found out some stuff I believe for years. Actually, not the truth.
No.
There is a legend that there is an Auburn flag, and I have heard this for years and years and years, that an Auburn flag has been placed on the moon by an astronaut who was an alumnus of Auburn. Now, the determination is possibly, but probably not.
Not. I've never heard that.
You've never heard that?
I have.
Because you're an Alabama fan.
That's right. That's right. I've never heard of that.
Auburn University has graduated more astronauts than any college in the state. So that legend.
Is this fact or is this?
Yeah, this part is fact.
Oh, okay.
But to their knowledge, the people that done this, there's never been one to put a flag on the moon, at least not an Auburn flag.
Auburn has graduated more astronauts than any other college.
In the state. So that's
okay.
When I was reading that, I thought any other
man,
college.
Man, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That kind of takes a little
bit. That's a veterinarian school.
That takes a little bit of the luster off of that, off of that thrill.
They've actually graduated more astronauts than any college in Lee County.
Oh, wow!
Hey, how about this one?
Hey, you take them any way you can get them.
And this is a name everybody's going to know. The legend is that Jimmy Buffett flunked out of Auburn. Folks, you think that's true or not?
I know who Jimmy Buffett is.
That legend is true.
It is true that Buffett flunked out of Auburn.
He enrolled in Auburn in 1965, was a fraternity brother.
That's all you need to know about flunking out. He was in the frats.
Or Johnny Youngblood reportedly taught Buffett to play the guitar. And too much Margaritaville and Buffett. Flunks out.
Who needs college when you're Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, it would have been a step back for him.
You know, so. His sister has a place down at Gulf Shores, Lulu's.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was his sister.
That's his sister.
See, you learn something every day here.
See there?
Man, you can't pay for this kind of stuff.
Hey, Jimmy Buffett, I tell you, if you want to know anything about, I'll give you two people, if you want to know anything about Jimmy Buffett, Mike Grantham and Philip Mabry.
I would have got Philip Mabry.
Grantham is Grantham. Oh, yeah. He is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan.
How about this one, Ronnie? Have you ever heard this one? If a student steps on Auburn's seal, he will not graduate in 4 years and will not marry a fellow Auburn student.
Did that come from Buffett, one of the fraternity parties?
Dear in Margaritaville.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, that one is not true.
Oh, it's not true.
Not true.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. Noise from the 2013 Iron Bowl registered on the seismic scale.
I heard that. Is that true?
Okay, unknown, but something made waves like an earthquake at the exact moment of Auburn's victory.
Well, there you go. All Auburn fans are going to claim it.
Oh, yeah. The Jordan-Hare Stadium is known for noise, it says. Dozens of online rankings rank it as the loudest college stadium or in the top 20 in the nation. In fact, the SEC warned Auburn officials if administrators didn't lower the decibels at the stadium, the university would be fined for violating noise ordinance, marking the only time such warning was given until that time, according to the Decatur Daily. And this was, of course, when Chris Davis run back the... what happened in that game? How did it turn out?
I heard something about it the other day when you played that clip again.
We're going to play that every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I wish it had been an earthquake, but I wish it had been about 10 seconds earlier and it had swallowed him up. Not that it would hurt him. I don't want anybody, any kid to get hurt, but I would have certainly liked to see him disappear down in a hole.
Hey, here's some legends from your old school, Roll Tider.
Well, if they're positive legends, they're all true.
A student was assigned the cadaver of a relative to dissect in an anatomy class.
Oh, how awful would that be?
Folks, that's true.
That is true.
That is true.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
That's speechless right there.
Oh, yeah. You pull back the cover.
Hey.
I think I know them.
I recognize that face.
That would end a class pretty
I know
quick.
That. Yeah. Oh, that'd be sickening. You know, the guy's got the same tattoo as so-and-so cousin of mine. Good grief.
How about this one? A massacre will occur on Halloween night at Tutwiler Hall. I've never heard this one.
I've
never heard the other one either. Of course, that one's false. According to legend, no woman is safe in Julia Tutwiler Hall on Halloween night. While the threat is vague, the example is a ghost of a former resident who jumped to her death haunts the halls. Now, that tells you pretty quick that, of course, there are a lot of people believe in ghosts.
Well,
you believe in ghosts?
Huh?
You believe in ghosts?
No, I watch Ghostbusters, but I don't know.
It didn't
convince me that they were ghosts.
How about Bear Bryant?
How about Halloween? Jason,
Friday
not
the 13th.
You,
yeah.
Oh, is that
Friday the 13th?
Well, which one is it wore the mask,
That's him, Jason. He's a bad dude.
last name wasn't Spiegel, was
it? I think it was. Bear Bryant got his nickname by wrestling a bear.
I've always heard that.
That is determined to be true.
I think at the end of the story is he killed it and skinned it.
He probably did. And then probably
and
took
wore
it to his football players.
That's right.
Hey, that would make a believer
and
out of
it. And it was a grown grizzly. It wasn't a baby. I think it was about 1,200 pounds.
It was probably
okay. It's 11.
Probably 100.
It's
11. Baby.
It's 1100. Then.
How about this one? Former Alabama football great Joe Namath was hired as the host of the game show Family Feud.
I'm not even looking, but I'm going to say that's true.
That is true. I don't ever remember that. I've watched Family Feud over the years.
Yeah, you
I
got
never
some
remember seeing.
You got some stories about Family Feud, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, my family can tell you all about Family Feud.
What was that question?
Name something a burglar would not want to see when breaking into a house. And my brother's
I saw you in the background.
Yeah, my brother's son-in-law answered the question as a naked grandma.
Grandma.
Of all the things in the world he could have said, naked grandma. And he said it with authority.
Yeah, he did.
And even scarier than that, the answer was on the board.
It was on the board. And, hey, that, I have laughed about that, and I've heard it. You can find it on YouTube. I mean, it is hilarious. That was so funny.
Hey, and I know it's not sports related.
No, but
and most everyone's heard of this. But that Family Feud actually has turned out pretty well for them, as they have now just wrapped up filming their first season of reality show. So.
And see,
it'll
that
air, I think, the first week in October or something.
October.
Will change.
What's
and
the name of it?
Right now, the name of it is The Spiegel Life.
The
but
Spiegel
that's
Life.
Probably going to change before it.
Oh, my.
Before we
gosh.
See it on TV.
What about that?
Oh, it'll be something to see. You can imagine with Naked Grandma, that's going to be something to see. And maybe we
it's
can
just
have
like that had personally happened to him. You know, he'd gone up and knocked on the door, you know.
And it may have.
Yeah. Great answer.
How about legend has it that Auburn students rode Toomer's Corner in celebration when Bear Bryant died?
I don't believe that.
No, nope, that's false. And along those lines, you know, football battle back and forth running, it's always a heated battle. But when it
sure
comes
it
to something like that, it seems like Auburn, Alabama pulls together.
Exactly.
As in
exactly.
The tornadoes.
That's exactly what I was going to say during the horrible tornadoes that took place in Tuscaloosa.
So as bad as we hate each other in sports,
yeah,
when it comes to something like that,
that's
you
right.
know, football aside, people are people.
Exactly. Wow, that's some funny stuff.
Hey,
good stuff.
Speaking of funny stuff, we've talked about paying players.
Yeah.
And things with agents and the paying players for the likeness and all. Got a story. I was going to tell it the other day, and I forgot it, remember? Here's a story, folks. Kids, if you're listening to this, remember this when you get into college. It's supposed to be a true story told by Mike Leach on national radio, XM Radio.
Mike Leach being the president. Football coach at
Washington State. Yeah, at this time he had just left the Texas Tech job where he was let go because of the concussion incident.
Yeah.
Locking the boy in the dark room.
That was, oh gosh. What was the guy? He worked for ESPN. It was his son, I thought.
Yeah.
Or he played on the team or something.
I can't remember his name.
James.
But
last name.
To show you how things can go, point shavings, agent signing kids, the story is. Now, Ronnie, picture this.
This is a visual for everybody,
the
right?
The agent gets a star player. He's either a quarterback, running back, or something big on the team. He's taking him out into the town different nights, showed him different clubs. He's having a private party. He's got a couple of good-looking girls with this young guy, and they're sitting on the couch talking with him. Well, they disappear upstairs into a room where they're sitting on a bed, couch, or whatever, and start kissing on him, and, you know, first one thing or another.
Yeah.
Well, they talk the boy into letting them blindfold him. They blindfold the kid. One of the girls gets up, slips over to another place in the room.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else comes in. The other girl gets up, slips out. And somebody is taking pictures. When they take the blindfold off of this player, he is sitting there with two other guys.
Oh,
and the two
goodness.
Guys did this not have on a stitch.
This is a college recruit?
Yeah. And so they went on to tell him, I think this was actually a college player, excuse me.
Okay.
But went on to tell him that he was either going to sign with them and he was going to shave some points in a game or those photos were going public.
Good.
So what do you do in that situation?
Get me a razor.
Yeah.
I'll start shaving.
Those pictures would have never seen.
Oh,
never.
Absolutely. Oh, my
God. But there's no way to deny that.
No.
I mean, the picture's there. No matter what.
Bad mistake. putting that blindfold on.
Oh, yeah. Don't ever put a blindfold on.
He hoodwinked. That's like somebody taking his snipe hunting, too. Oh, man. Will you imagine when he opened his eyes?
Yeah, and he's sitting there with two dudes.
That changed the mood.
Yeah, you know, he's probably hearing the camera snap. And he's probably just thinking somebody's taking some pictures of this.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have this in my scrapbook.
Yeah, this is going to be cool.
Hey, wow. Got a call we're going to take right before the break. He tried to get in the other day.
Oh, gotcha.
And so let's get him today. I think he may have football practice. So we've got Brett Johnson. I think he is going to be a Auburn Tiger fan. So, Brett, are you with us?
You recruited it.
I'm here. What's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Brett?
I've been listening. I'm enjoying the show.
Good. Glad you're listening.
I was calling to talk to Mr. Number 22.
Number 22. Seems to be a popular subject.
A popular subject.
He's like a Nick Saban. I think Urban Meyer, he was on top of the mountain a few years ago, and Saban came right in there and knocked him out, and I think that's about what Gus is about to do on Nick here.
Eddie is now reaching for his glycerin tank.
Yes, he's going down with it.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the biggest spammers that I think I know out here. I wanted to call and tell him that, you know, we beat him with a defensive back from Georgia last year, and he's all about him, you know, smoking pot and doing all this other stuff. And I think they got a defensive player on their team that robbed some poor kid over there and took his debit card and haven't let him back on the team. So.
Oh, me. I wonder how Eddie's going to answer that. I know he'll call today. And have some
he will have a legitimate reason for that.
No, I'm just playing. He's a good old guy. What y'all been talking about today on here? I ain't been getting to listen to just now.
Actually, we have went through Auburn and Alabama legends, and I just told a story of a guy that an agent took to the hotel room, thought he was with two girls. They blindfolded him, and he took the blindfold off only to be with two guys. His picture was taken, and then he was told that he was going to shave some points, so those pictures were going public. So,
whoa, who was that?
I don't know. Mike Leach told it on XM Radio a year or so ago, so I don't have any idea. He didn't call the kid's name, but I imagine he shaved some points.
I got you. What are y'all thinking about them first week, Alabama, West Virginia? You think they're going to cover that line? What are y'all thinking?
What is the line for entertainment purposes only, Brett?
I thought like 24 points. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, first game, I don't think Alabama will cover it.
Oh, Jason.
I don't think they'll cover it.
I think it'll be 30 plus.
I think it'll be about 38-7.
Nope. I think it's going to be closer.
West Virginia, there's no way. West Virginia, they can't carry their job.
Alabama, a new quarterback.
I know y'all was heading towards a break or whatever. I just had to call in and give Eddie a hard time. But
shameless plug: any part of the show that you missed, you can stream or get on demand on the website. So if you missed the beginning, you can go listen to it.
Well, I appreciate what you do, and I'll continue to listen. Y'all have a good evening.
Hey, thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Brett. Thank you, bud.
Hey, Ronnie, tonight is Hops and Shop in downtown Coleman. Johnny's Barbecue will be set up next to Rumors Deli from 6 to 8. Johnny's and Rumors have partnered to present the popular local band Round 2. They will be on the patio of Rumors. Come by and get a barbecue and listen to some great music tonight.
At Rumors. Johnny's Barbecue is going to be at Rumors, huh?
How often does this happen, Jay?
I have no idea. That's just what the information they provided for me. So.
Hey, folks, stay with us. We're going to a break. And remember, 4:30, Alvin Bressler will be on with us. Number 256-737-9951. We'll be right back.
I'd like to say something to the ladies. You know that one of the rules of modern life is perfect cleanliness. For instance, women years ago would be horrified at the thought of washing their hair every day, as many of our Hollywood stars do. But then they didn't have Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo in those days. If they had, I'll wager they would have used it frequently. For Fitch's saponified shampoo always leaves the hair lustrous and easy to set. Made from pure vegetable and mild coconut oils, it won't dry the hair or make it harsh feeling. It cleanses thoroughly, too, for it makes loads of fluffy lather even in hard water. This lather whisks away every bit of dust and dirt, leaves your hair fragrant and sparkling clean. Ask for a professional application of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo at your beauty or barber shop, or buy an economical bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. Look for the bottle with the bright yellow label.
But now here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company, who wants to say something about one of his favorite subjects.
That's right, Dick. Fitch's no-brush shaving cream is a favorite subject with me because men are always so pleased with it after they've tried it. Fitch's no-brush combines three different shaving ingredients into one easy-to-use cream. One of the ingredients, a special skin conditioner, helps prepare even a tender, sensitive face for a solid comfort shave. Fitch's no-brush also has a creamy, non-greasy texture. It helps the razor do the job in a hurry, even if your beard is tough. When you've finished your shave, your face feels cool and refreshed and smooth as can be.
For men who prefer lather, there's Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives lots of rich, dense lather that stays moist all during the shave. Rinses off easily, too, leaving your face feeling smooth and pleasantly cool.
Join the thousands who have found shaving pleasure through their switch to Fitch. Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No Brush shaving creams contain the special skin conditioner for sensitive faces, and both come in handy 25 and 50 cent sizes. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. It's the only shampoo made whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance firms. No other shampoo can make this statement. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, beauty or barber shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Thanks to Brett Johnson for calling in. Getting a few more callers now, and maybe as the season goes on and the battle heats up.
That's right. As it picks up and we start playing these games, I think we'll get some we'll get a little rivalry going between callers.
Going to get interesting.
Yes, it will.
Ronnie, you've got the top breakout players listed for this year.
I saw this listed, and I thought I knew you would want to see this. And the title is the top 50 breakout players of 2014. If we scroll all the way down to number, we'll start at the bottom and work our way up. Number 43, and I'm sure I will mispronounce these, so if you know how they're pronounced.
I probably don't know myself.
You can correct me. Montrevious Adams, defensive tackle, Auburn University. Number 43.
Number 43.
I don't know anything about him, but.
I don't know much about him either.
Okay. Well, that's why he's a breakout player. Nobody knows anything about him, right? Number 33, the 33rd, I guess, rated breakout player this year, Sean Coleman, offensive tackle, also from Auburn University.
Again, I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. Hey, the lineman, just get up there and do
your
job. I don't know a lot about you.
You don't get a lot of love, do you, as a lineman?
That's it, but they're the make and break of the team.
You got that right. If you're not good up front, you're not going to win.
That's right.
Bottom line, I don't care what scheme you have. I don't care whether you hurry up like Auburn or you're more traditional like Alabama. It makes no difference.
Hey, how about this? Just looked it up. Montrevious Adams, freshman, 6'4", 305. So you got a lot of meat to throw around there.
You got that right. You imagine feeding him breakfast?
Ooh. Wow, he would eat more than
a dozen eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number 18 on the list is first name, Daquil Williams, wide receiver.
Now, I will say this man is the real deal.
He's a JUCO, right?
Yeah.
I saw him on TV.
Nick Marshall can get the ball close enough to catch it.
This kid's a player. I can't argue or banter back and forth with you much about him because that kid's a real deal. He's a JUCO player. Number 16 on the list, Trey DePriest, linebacker, University of Alabama. Roll Tide. Number 16. He needs to have a breakout year.
Has he not done much? I don't keep up.
You've had people in front of him, C.J. Mosley and you know, folks like that who have been in front of him. So, you know, I guess this will be his time to lead.
How many on the average year running would you say Alabama defensively puts in the NFL? I mean, if you're playing defense at Alabama, you're a pretty good stud.
You got a very good – you got a shot to go to the next level.
Eddie, if you're listening, did you hear me say that? Yeah. I said it, didn't I?
He's gone for sure now. Because if he was hunting his peel, his nitroglycerin peels a while ago, you just put him over the edge.
I knocked him plumb off.
Yeah, we'll have to call one of the local funeral homes to get the arrangements for him. Anyway, that's number 16, Trey DePriest, linebacker, Alabama. You know, if you look back at his past, he was one of those five-star recruits, you know, that Saban gets so many of. So we'll see. He needs to have a big year. That was number 16. Number 15, now this guy right here is stud. Cam Robinson, offensive tackle, Alabama. This kid he's a legit freshman. He will start, no question, as a true freshman at tackle position. You're going to see him a lot in the NFL unless something happens to him.
Yeah.
Great player. He's number 15. Number 14, another one from the University of Alabama.
And imagine that. We're getting closer to the top.
That's right.
We're getting more Alabama
players.
There
you go. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just the history of the university the last 5-6 years. Number 14 on the list, Derrick Henry, running back,
Derrick
Alabama.
Henry, I will give you that. He is.
Is he not a specimen?
Yeah, he is.
I don't know.
He's built a lot like we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me just like me when I was, you know, when I was 19 and 20.
He reminded me a lot of me at 35.
Yeah. Boy, you went down in a hurry, didn't
yeah.
you? Oh, but that's Derrick Henry. I'm really excited as an Alabama fan to watch this kid play because he didn't get to play last year.
Right.
I mean, he played in the bowl game, and that's about it.
That's where he became known.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, that bowl game is one we won't forget, but I think without any doubt, the way Oklahoma handled Alabama is why Oklahoma is sitting where they are as far as being
ranked.
Where
do you think Stoops got that game plan from?
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, do you? But, you know, in a way, the sad part about it is it seems like if Alabama isn't playing for a national championship you know, their bowl
game. They've been there so many times.
Their record just isn't real good outside of the national championship game. Remember, a few years ago, Utah just waxed them in the Sugar Bowl.
I've never understood consolation games. I know they looked at that bowl game like a consolation game, but a lot of the high school, and it's just another game for the kids, but who wants to play a consolation game?
I agree. Hey, I know we got to take a break, and then we got Alvin is going to be with us, but real quickly, I've got to. Do we need to take a break, or do you want me to hold off on this?
Go ahead and give another one.
All right, I'll give you the most important one, the number one, uno, number one.
And I can imagine this is going to be an Alabama player.
Oh, it is an Alabama player. It is Jake Coker, University of Alabama.
The kid is who will be the starting
quarterback.
He is the number one breakout player
in all of college football. If he turns out to be the number one player, Alabama's going to roll.
Yeah, Alabama will be in good shape.
Yep.
I don't know. Well, that's yet to be seen.
Oh, of course it will.
Folks, 4:29, it's time for us to give Mr. Bressler a call, get him on the line. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back with you with Alvin Bressler, former Auburn star, talking to us.
To receive absolutely free a brand new Chevrolet 6, any model you want? All right, listen to this. Starting tomorrow is a feature of National Drive a Chevrolet Month. One of those big, fine-looking Chevrolet 6s will be given away every day, absolutely free. 30 days, 30 cars, one car awarded every day. All you have to do is to visit any Chevrolet dealer, drive or ride in a Chevrolet car, then down on the entry blank, which the dealer will furnish, the reason why you like the new Chevrolet 6. Remember, in order to enter the contest, you must visit a Chevrolet dealer, get a demonstration, and obtain an entry blank from him. It doesn't matter how many or how few words you use or what kind of writer you are. The best reasons for liking the new Chevrolet, the best in the opinions of the judges, win the free Chevrolet cars. This opportunity is for any person in the United States over 18 years of age. And one day makes you eligible for any of the cars given away from the day you enter throughout the balance of the month. So plan now to go to your Chevrolet dealer tomorrow and enter this contest. Your name may be announced over the radio next Friday night as one of the winners of a new Chevrolet 6.
J-E-L-L. The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Elka pudding just a
You ate too much. The cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. Use only as directed. Oh, what a relief.
.432, welcome back to Sports Talk Live, and just as promised, we have Alvin Bressler on the line with us, and from our understanding, Alvin is stuck in a traffic jam in Birmingham, as usual for that area. But Alvin, are you with us?
I'm right here. Looking forward to spending some time with you this afternoon, even if it's from the inside of my car.
Hey, I hear you. Just get out on the side of the road or wherever you have to get. So, Alvin, I've told folks that I've known you for a long time. You're an Auburn standout, both football and track. Tell us a little bit about your days at Auburn playing with Pat Sullivan, Terry Beasley, and Coach Jordan especially.
Well, Jason, that was a great era in Auburn football history, and certainly with what Sullivan and Beasley had done in the years of 69, 70, and 71, I was fortunate to be a part of that that winning 3 years in 1970, which was my senior year, and they were both juniors. And I've said this before on several occasions, that Auburn almost really invented the real passing game back in 1969 and 70 when Pat Sullivan became a sophomore at Auburn. And because we threw the ball a great deal in 70 and 71, and whereas it was beyond what the normal college football team was doing with their offense. And Auburn was ahead of the curve there because it did have a great quarterback and receivers, including Mickey Zofko, out of the backfield, and Ryan Ross was tight end. But in 1970 was a tremendous year for Auburn, and it set the stage for Pat to win the Heisman in 1971 because he had name recognition from what he had done in 70.
Oh, yeah.
And they just capitalized on it in 71. But
hey, and Alvin, you've done your part of that. I read just today where you averaged over your career 20.6 yards per catch. That's not bad.
That's impressive.
Hey, and my apologies, Alvin. I haven't introduced my partner in crime, Ronnie Barnes, here. So,
Alvin, it's nice talking to you, man. Thanks for calling us as well.
He did me good in Coleman County.
Yeah,
huh?
He did me that way just because I'm an Alabama fan. I'm not an Auburn fan too, but he did that on purpose, Alvin. That's the way Jason is.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, y'all must be the dynamic duo with one with orange and blue and the other crimson and white.
That's right.
Hey, balanced coverage, Alvin. In Coleman, you've got to have that. So.
Hey, Alvin. tell me a little bit about Pat Sullivan. I guess, you know, was he a kind of a player that you knew ahead of time, hey, this guy's going to be legit, he's got a chance to, you know, do the things that he ended up doing, or was he kind of a dark horse and people didn't know much about him coming in?
He was really, Ronnie, you could call him maybe a silent leader. He just his presence in the huddle and even in practice in the games, real confident look on his face, which, you know, that spreads to the entire team and especially the offense. And, you know, Auburn, the opportunity to come back from being behind in several games during his era was that he would walk into the huddle when we, you know, were on a comeback run and look at the offensive linemen and look at us receivers and say, we are going to get this done. Just block for me and catch the ball. And that was the type of athlete that he was. And, you know, when you have one like that, it's like a coach. And I'll say, Coach Jordan, you want to play for somebody like Coach Jordan. Well, in Pat's case, you want to play your hardest for him. And and it just adds the chemistry to your team when you have a leader like that.
Those,
you know, he's done a marvelous job at Samford, as we all know.
Yeah, he sure has. Those players are very rare, aren't they, Alvin?
They really are, and it's you know, you don't come across them very often, you know, as you just said. But I think what was truly a blessing was to be in that era with Sullivan and Beasley, which was part of my career. Still have fond memories.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Alvin, tell me this. The transition from high school football to college football at that time, tell me, how did you make that transition smoothly, or was it difficult for you? I'm not talking about a student-wise. I'm just talking about athletically.
Well, you know, here, going from college to the pros, you know, everybody can run. Everybody's fast. You know, in high school, I did have a good speed, great speed, matter of fact. And then when I got to Auburn, Beasley and I were probably the fastest guys on the team. So we adjusted pretty well to that. But some that, you know, go from high school to college have a hard time, you know, with that because of the speed of the game. But it was the adjustment that I had was getting down to Auburn and being as skinny as I was, because I did run track and in high school along with football, and the training table was a great place for me on meal time, because it gave me a chance to gain some weight,
right?
And where I could feel confident about, you know, my body, so to speak, and strength, you know.
Hey, Alvin, correct me if I'm wrong, but you turned in a time, speaking of track, and your speed of 51.4 on the 440 hurdles.
And yeah, that was 1971, matter of fact.
And beat your brother by 0.2 seconds.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Championship.
Don't you have some fun with that one?
Well, I tell you, the intermediate hurdles was sort of a new event back in our time, and we were a little ahead of the curve. And we decided against Georgia at a deal meet that we would tie for first place. And not that we were so cocky, but it was just one of those brotherly love moments that he didn't want to win. And I told him, I said, you can't win. I said, you know what, you're going to beat me.
There you go.
I said, what I'll do, we'll just tie.
Oh, my goodness. 50, what was the time again?
51 and 0.4 seconds.
That was the... Yeah, that was 440-yard hurdles.
Yeah, that's for people who don't know, that's one complete lap around the track.
With 10 hurdles.
Yeah.
Yeah, with 10 hurdles, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't even jump a hurdle, Alan. I couldn't just stand and jump one hurdle, much less do that. Hey.
Well, you know, I hesitate bringing it up, but I was a freshman. I was going through spring training football and running track at the same time.
Wow.
And, you know the name Richard Flowers in the SEC track meet. I was running up to Richard Flowers, 120-yard hurdles. He ran 13.7, and I was 13.9. So,
wow.
Goodness.
It was I had to give up the highs because I hurt my knee in 1968 against Kentucky, and it ruined that part of my track career. So that's when I moved to the intermediates and make the best of what I had.
Hey, and Ronnie, he passed this down to his daughters, who are also track stars.
They're track stars,
too. I'm telling you, the speed runs in the family, Alvin.
Hey, Alvin, without the... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just saying, the middle, we got three daughters in the middle, and they had a beautiful track career at West Virginia High School, and running 100-meter hurdles and winning the state championship 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So,
wow.
That's kind of dominating.
A little glamour to their career.
Exactly. Hey, Alvin, take the hurdles off the track. How fast could you run that?
I was a 9.500-yard dash guy. 9.5, that's a 100-yard dash. And people ask all the time, what was the difference in the speed of you and Beasley? And in the 40, he was a 4.4, and I was a 4.45 guy. And in the 100, I was a 9.5, and he was a 9.55. So it was,
wow.
He could beat me in the 40, but I could beat him in the 100.
Beat him in the 100.
Long legs.
Yeah. Hey, and folks, Alvin is a Cliff Hare Award winner, which is the highest honor given to an Auburn athlete. Alvin, tell us a little bit about winning the Cliff Hare Award. I know I'm throwing this and that out of the blue, but it's just something I'd like to mention to everyone. So.
Well, it's an honor that I still treasure it today and value, you know, what it stands for and what it means. And, you know, we've got that plaque hung on the wall in our athletic room or sports room, if you want to call it, there at the house. And we've got 10 grandchildren, and
hey, that'll keep you fast.
It's a thrill to point that out to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that award is and how it reads on the plaque. And it was a great moment to accept that award when it was given to me back in the spring of 1971.
Oh yeah, and it a well deserved award. I'm telling you, Alvin, I've known you for years, and I know it back then even that it was very well deserved. You went on to be drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, so hard work pays off.
Well, I appreciate it, and you know you don't see two sport lettermen, you know, back in that era.
No,
for Ronnie's sake, Bear Bryant, he was disappointed that I didn't come to Alabama.
I'm sure he was.
But he wasn't interested in me running track. In track, I'm sort of like Bo Jackson. You know, I love track just as much as I did football. And Coach Jordan made the offer to be able to do two sports. And it's just part of, I guess, having a chance to compete, you know, in both areas there was that's what I wanted to do.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to.
I've got all the respect for Coach Bryant.
Yeah, you got to do what's ultimately best for you. Hey, Alvin, I got another question here. Tell us what you tell us your feelings about what Gus has done at Auburn.
Well, Ronnie, I mean, and Jason, he's been a savior. The team was in the ditch at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And it was an embarrassing product on the field. It wasn't even fun to go watch them. Mm. And I think what Coach Malzahn has done, and I've said this on a couple of different occasions, I bought into his program when he was named head coach, when he hired the assistant coaches that he hired. They are top caliber, and they proved it last year. And with the team that we had, you know, we all know the defense was, you know, as far as that athletes on that side of the ball, we were limited in what we could put out there. So you give all the credit in the world to the defense coaching staff, but, you know, at least letting us hang in the games. And then you take this offense that the Malzahn Fast Express, if you want to call it, it's hard to stop. And it's a true triple option, and when you have a quarterback like Marshall that can execute it, that was the reason that Auburn did what it did last year. And I was at a recent former Letterman dinner that Coach Malzahn wanted to put on a couple of Mondays ago, and first time I'd been side by side with him and he's at 6'4" height. I didn't realize he was that tall, but he's a very humble man, and it's almost like Coach Jordan when you look back, as I recall, you know, being, you know, with Coach Jordan and listening to him talk, and it's a parallel there with Coach Valzon. So the future for Auburn is really bright.
Alvin, what do you think about this year's team? Last year, we pulled off a miracle against Georgia, and of course the kick six, Alabama.
Don't mention that
around Ronnie, but hey, I like to bring it up too.
Alvin, he even pulls it up here and replays it over the radio, the last kick.
Well,
I mean,
you know, we still that's going to be a hard one to forget, you know, but you have to move on to 2014, and
what do you see for this year? What do you see for this year? How do you think Auburn will fare this year?
This team is we're going to be better on defense, and I think with the receiver that Auburn was able to latch on to that went through the spring, what's his nickname? I can't remember, but he's going to be a great compliment to Sammy Coates, and I could only see we're not going to miss a beat on offense with running back. You look at the offensive line, there's depth there, even though we lost one of our stars at Kozan, but Auburn's convinced their backups were no issue replacing him. And so I look for Auburn to get off to a fast start this year. Kansas State is, as we all know, going to trap game. We get through that game,
right,
and we're going to win everything, and then we bring South Carolina to Auburn. Mm-hmm. If we get by that one, even the next three games are tough, but Coach Valzon can work that miracle. Let's take these games one at a time. I can see Auburn with a 12-1 season, or only losing one in the during the course of the year, and Auburn winning the SEC championship against South Carolina, I think, in a rematch.
I like the way you talk, Alvin.
I'll just sit over here and be quiet.
Hey,
but I will say this. I really like Gus Malzahn. I think he was the perfect hire for Auburn University. Just from the kind of person he is.
Yeah, in the old famous expression, you're so right, Carl, you know. He really the media is they're wanting to, you know, they fell in love with Nick Saban and still continue to stay in love with Nick Saban. Well, Malzahn is on the press show now, gaining some of that true love that the media can give you, you know, if you become successful like he's done. So I think as far as the hire, you know, Auburn's been blessed with this, you know, the unknown of what he could do to what he's done.
Oh, yeah.
And,
hey, Alvin, we know you're tied up in traffic, but got to ask you one more question. We have to ask everybody this. The four-team playoff this year, who do you see in the four, being the four teams at the end of the year, the last four standing being in that playoff?
The last four standing, I'm going to say Florida State's there.
Oh, yeah.
They've
It'd be hard not to.
Ticket. Yeah, well, their schedule, they're there. You know, Ohio State or Michigan State, one of those is going to come out of that championship game. And, you know, I guess the fan favorite might be Ohio State because of the name program. So if I say Florida State, Ohio State, then I'm going to look to Oklahoma to be that third team that will be there. And it's going to come down to, you know, Alabama's got just as good a chance to get in there because I think their schedule plays in their hand.
Right.
But Auburn's going to beat them in the Iron Bowl and win the SEC championship.
I hear you.
And you're going to see the War Eagles again.
I
back
hear
in
you.
That
I'll
that's
take that.
The way I see it.
I'll take that. Ronnie, he's got all kind of red on him over here now. But
hey, Alvin, if I were
love
you,
to be Ronnie up there.
Yeah, hey, if I were you, Alvin, and if I had the list of credentials and what you did at Auburn, if that was me, I would definitely be picking Auburn too, because your bio is impressive.
Well, I appreciate it, Ronnie. My wife and I were married in 1970, which was my senior season, and we are still married today with three daughters, three son-in-laws. They're all six graduated from Auburn. We did two, and then 10 grandchildren. But as they've said numerous times, people to me, behind every good man is a strong woman.
There you go.
I've never had to turn around and ask where she's been.
Yeah.
No, she's been there.
You got that right, Alan. That's great.
Hey, Alan, can't thank you enough for joining us. I know you need to get home and fight that Birmingham traffic, but, man, we really appreciate you coming on with us, and we're going to be calling on you again if it's okay during the season. So.
I hope you will, and I've enjoyed being on too, Jason, with you and Ronnie, and good luck with your program this fall, and I'm a phone call away. I'd love to come back.
Hey, great. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, y'all have a good evening.
You too.
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, if Jay will cue us up for a break, we'll be right back. Just talk with Alan Brush a while. He's impressive.
He is impressive.
We'll be right back, folks.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, Aroni, the San Francisco treat. Rice. Aroni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice Aroni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
Welcome back, folks. 4:52 on a Thursday afternoon. The week is winding down. The weekend just around the corner.
Around the corner. I believe it's time for the lake again.
Hey, Ronnie, even though he was an Auburn man, did you enjoy talking to him?
I really did, Jason. This guy is, again, his bio is impressive. He knows what he's talking about, and he's been very successful outside of college athletics.
Right. I've known Alvin, I guess, even before I graduated high school. He is actually our insurance agent.
For your company.
Yeah, and we see Alvin, talk to him all the time. He handles a lot of our bonding and so forth, and Alvin is just as impressive talking to him in the business field as the athletic field. Can't say enough good things about him.
Seems like a very classy guy. So,
in fact, he is responsible for one of my pictures that's hanging in my office, and he got me a Auburn parking meter that is now parked in my basement.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you seen that?
Yeah, you showed it to me. So, I'm sure he is extremely proud of. I think he had three girls and they all graduated from Auburn, and he's got 10 grandchildren. So.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
If you got 10 grandkids, you got to be pretty fast. We've got one, and she will keep you on your toes, and so I can imagine.
Maybe 10. He can still think he can still run the hurdles.
Oh, I imagine he can hurdle all 10 of them.
So. Oh, man.
But, folks, coming up in about 5-6 minutes, we're going to have Dan Vosta. Dan going to talk to us a national perspective on football. What do you think he's going to have today, Ronnie?
He left me speechless the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's just, I hate to keep repeating it, but he is just a walking encyclopedia, or a Wikipedia for the internet purposes of sports.
Encyclopedias are long gone.
I know, but it's long for the youth it is, but for us, it's still out there for us.
Folks, if you want to catch any of today's show, you can do so on line at Live 95. Go on Shows on Demand, stream it back. Hear what Alvin had to say, or Dan. Be interesting to go back and listen to tonight.
Yeah, I tell you, that was a classy guy right there.
Another reminder, once again, that tonight is Hops and Shop in downtown Coleman. Johnny's Barbecue will be set up next to Rumors Deli. from 6 to 8, Johnny's and Rumors have partnered to present the popular local band Round 2. They will be on the patio area of Rumors. Come by and get a barbecue and listen to some great music.
There you go. And if you want to, again, Jason mentioned, if you want to listen to the show on demand, go to live95coleman.com. Then look for Show on Demand. Click that and pick whichever Tuesday or Thursday you want to listen to. That's right. But if you're just tuning out and you missed Alvin, it would be well worth your time to listen to Alvin Breschler, who was an outstanding athlete at Auburn University.
Hey, Ronnie, before we go to our next break and make contact with Dan, how about telling everyone about our Pick'em game and how to take part in that?
Sure. We want people to join up. Go to ESPN.com, click on Fantasy and Games, then scroll down to where it says College You Pick'em or College Pick'em. Click on that. And then look for the name Sports Talk Live 95.5. And once you find that, you can click that and then play along with us. We've got some folks who are have already signed up to play. You have to have an ESPN account. And so sign up, play. We're going to do this all season long. Hopefully we can have some, you know, maybe some giveaways as we go along, you know, with weekly winners and then, you know, overall winner at the end of the season or end of the regular season, whoever has the most total points. So you guys and gals out there, tell your buddies to go on ESPN. If you don't have an ESPN account, make one. It doesn't cost anything. And then sign up and play.
That's right. And you don't need to have vast football knowledge to take part in it. It's 50-50
it's
chance.
It's 50-50 either way. They give you the game, so you just pick who you think is going to win.
So you can just go down through there and any, mini, mighty, moe.
That's it. And you got just as
you
good a chance.
You probably do as good
you
as I will.
Just as well. You got just as good a chance to win as anybody else does. That's right. So join us and you know, play the college pick-ups with us.
Folks, are going to take a real quick break and let us make contact with Dan, and we'll be back in just a minute and a half, 2 minutes, with Dan Vosta, Campus Insider.
We're the all-new Live 95 WRJM-LP Coleman.
Cars in a nutshell.
Best bets Buick.
See your nearest Buick dealer for complete details.
The Skelly Oil Company, you know, was the originator of tailor-made gasoline. And tonight, I'm going to tell you something I just found out about mittens. Yeah, that's right, mittens. You know, the three little kittens lost their mittens, those things. Well, now, what I found out about mittens is this. You see, we have different kinds of mittens for different parts of the country and for different kinds of weather. Way up in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin, they put on two pairs of woolen mittens and a pair of leather ones besides sometimes. Not quite so far north, around Iowa and Illinois, for instance, a single pair of mittens will do if they're good and heavy. And further south, a pair of good fleece-lined gloves will keep the frost out of your fingertips. And way down south, of course, well, gloves are just something to dress up in or work with. And mittens, well, they hardly know what mittens are for. Well, now, and here's the point of the whole story. Think of this. Wouldn't it be silly if all these folks that wear all these different kinds of gloves and mittens, wouldn't it be silly if they all tried to use the same kind of gasoline in their cars? Why, of course it would. They need different kinds of gasoline just as much as they need different kinds of mittens. They need gasoline that's tailor-made to fit their weather. Isn't that right? So look, when you're out driving, watch for the big red, white, and blue sign that marks every Skelly service station. Because that's where you can get Skelly tailor-made gasoline. You see, Skelly tailor-made gasoline is weather-right because it's tailor-made to fit the weather in each part of the country where it's sold. It's weather-right for your car wherever you buy it. So remember what I told you about mittens. Wear mittens that are made for your kind of weather and use gasoline that's weather-right, too. That's Skelly tailor-made gasoline, good old Skelly Aromax. Tell Dad to try a tank full tomorrow. Now, here's something your dad should hear about. Skelly gasoline is tailor-made for quick starting in your weather. It's weather-right for your car. So it not only helps you start faster, it gives you faster pickup, too. If you want your car to pull out in front of traffic, if you want your family car to be the first to get away when it starts at a traffic light, you just ask Dad to try Skelly tailor-made gasoline. And once he tries it, he'll say it's a grand gasoline. And I'll bet he uses it from then on. And boy, oh boy, will you be proud of the way your family car starts and the way it steps out ahead of the rest on the road. Yes, sir. For fast starts and real pickup, tell Dad to try Skelly tailor-made Aromax gasoline tonight.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. And just as promised, once again, Ronnie, Dan Vosta on the line with Campus Insider. Dan, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me on. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Dan, great to have you with us, and especially great that it's Thursday, the weekend's near, and we're a week closer to college football.
No doubt about it. Just 2 weeks away.
Hey, Dan, this is Ronnie. I just want you to know you are an absolute hit with the people who have been listening or who heard you last week on the show. I had people ask me, who is that guy that knows all that about the college football? So you're a hit here.
Well, I appreciate it. Love the college football fans. I think they're the best in the world. So I love talking and love to hear what they're all thinking just 2 weeks before kickoff.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dan, last week you gave us your four favorites to make the four-team playoff. This week we're going to go a little different gear. If you had to pick two, maybe three at the most, dark horses, teams that might fly in under the radar that people aren't expecting to make the playoffs but actually have a chance, who would you say those teams might be?
Yeah, I think actually, surprisingly, if you will, maybe not surprisingly, I think a couple of them are in the SEC. The first one that sticks out to me are the Ole Miss Rebels, and it's amazing that the Grove, many consider it the best tailgating spot in the country. They've never had College Game Day come to Oxford for a home game, and I'm banking on Alabama being there in October. Maybe both undefeated. I certainly think Alabama will be a type of game of the year atmosphere. I think Bama may win that game, but I think Ole Miss has an excellent chance to win minimum 9 games. I think they can win 10 games, and certainly if they pull off an upset, that puts them right in the thick of things to potentially get into the college ball playoff. I think it's a huge advantage that most of their big games, like Auburn, they get at home, and certainly they may have a shot to win out. It's only LSU, really, in terms of road games, is their toughest game of the year. I think Laquan Treadwell was a freshman out in the Midwest, is where he's from, so I've seen him play in high school, and he's an absolute superstar. We've seen Mike Wallace, and we've seen, of course, Dante Moncrief recently with Ole Miss through the years. I think he'll be the best one, and he certainly set records as a freshman last year in Ole Miss history for a freshman on most yards, catches, and touchdowns. So I think they're going to finish the year as a top 10 team, and for me, they're not going to start in the top 15. So I certainly think they're a dark horse.
Yeah.
Another team, another team I would say the LSU Tigers, just because many people are doubting them. And now it's possible they could fall on their faces if the freshmen do not, you know, really perform up to their capability, as Les Miles is not named yet a starting quarterback. But we may look at this class back in Baton Rouge in a few years as maybe their most successful. I think certainly Leonard Fournette, the true freshman running back, is going to get some big-time PT with Terrence McGee. And, of course, Hilliard's a stud, so I think he's going to do well. But I really think Brandon Harris is going to be maybe, you could call me a bold statement here, but he may be the most successful and productive quarterback that LSU's ever seen. And he hasn't even played a down yet, but certainly they're looking to have him a little spread option, spread zone, if you will, as a quarterback. I think it gives them an extra dimension. Mettenberger was a stud last year, but he was pretty much a statue back there, and certainly didn't help that he got hurt towards the end of the season. But I think many people are underestimating Les Miles, and while they certainly lose lots of studs, in fact, they were the only team in SEC history last year, LSU is, to have a 3,000-yard passer in Mettenberger, a 1,000-yard rusher in Jeremy Hill, and not one but two 1,000-yard receivers in Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. No team in SEC history has ever done that. So it's amazing all those guys, those four studs, are all in the NFL now. And so many people think the offense is going to take a step back, but the majority of their offensive linemen are back. And as you know, big boy football in SEC wins games in the trenches. You build a great team from the inside out, and I think LSU can do that running downhill, and it starts in a big game against Wisconsin. So I really like LSU's chances. And last but not least, I'm going to go with the Iowa Hawkeyes as my dark horse. I think really nobody knows too much about this team outside of Melrose Avenue by Kinnick Stadium. I think the Hawkeyes have the easiest schedule among any BCS team out there. Their toughest non-conference game is on the road at Pittsburgh from the ACC, and their next toughest games are at the end of the year. The final two games, they get to host Wisconsin and Nebraska. They play the Huskers at home as well, and that's the day after Thanksgiving. And that could be not only for a chance to play in the Big Ten title. If they were to win two of those games, I think there's a chance they could go and win the Big Ten championship over Ohio State. I'm not predicting them to win the Big Ten championship, but I do think they actually will play in the Big Ten championship this year. If you get to the Big Ten title with undefeated or one loss, you got a shot to get into the college football playoff if things break your way. So I think that's your dark horse. But I like Ole Miss and LSU this year, mainly because a lot of people don't. And both those teams have a lot of sneaky superstar talent. So those are my three that stick out.
Great picks,
Dan. Hey, I got a question for you here. As everybody knows, you know, there's five power conferences, and with the playoffs are going to shake out this from at least with the way they're doing it now. Somebody's going to be left out. What big conference do you think is going to get left out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance you're going to see at least a couple undefeated teams, at least in my opinion. But I think the one conference that is really going to make sit home, if you will, maybe get an unfortunate ranking, I think that's the Big 12, mainly because they're the only BCS conference, guys, that they don't have a title game in terms of a conference title game. And certainly they're going to be playing the first weekend in December. That's conference game. So they're the only BCS conference without a conference championship game. So that 13th game, it means a lot. And certainly we'll still see if Oklahoma, we're going to hear about their star linebacker Frank Shannon is suspended, but he's appealing and still practicing right now. Dorial Green Beckham, former Mizzou receiver, they're also appealing him to see if they can play. But certainly, with or without those guys, they're going to have to go undefeated, I think, in the Big 12, because one, the Big 12, while it's a respected conference, I think at best it's the third best conference in America. And so they're going to have a team run the table, because a one-loss SEC team, for me, 99 out of 100 times is more deserving. So it would be tough to see them get passed up for an Oklahoma or Baylor team, the Big 12. So I think the Big 12, to me, is maybe the fourth or fifth best conference going into this season. So barring they get an undefeated team, I don't really like their chances of getting into the playoffs, and that's because they don't have that conference championship game.
Hey, well, kind of going off the cuff a little bit, what do you think the NCAA will rule on Beckham?
I think they're going to, you know, they're going to make him wait another year. It wouldn't make sense to me. He wasn't likely going to play with Mizzou because of certainly everything that went on, and certainly it's, you know, never a good idea when you get in trouble in the offseason with these kids. They always seem to get in trouble. But
right.
He wasn't going to play at Missouri. So it makes no sense as why he can just go somewhere else and get that eligibility immediately. I think the punishment should be for transferring. You have to say you're barring somebody in your family is sick or you're homesick and whatnot, but this was like a suspension, a year-long suspension, and now he decided to just take his troubles elsewhere, so I think the punishment is worthy of a year. So I think that's what likely will happen, and certainly they're trying to appeal for Baker Mayfield, the Texas Tech quarterback as well, so obviously he'd be backing up Trevor Knight as well, but he's probably going to have to play wait another year as well, so not looking good if you expected those guys to play, but Oklahoma is still going to be a top 10 team for me.
Yeah, I hope you're right on that suspension. Hey, mm-hmm. To be in the top four, you pretty much got to be the best at something, right? You've got to be offensively great, defensively great. I know this is magical powers maybe, but if you could put your top offense in the country as you see what would be the top offense versus the top defense that you see coming, who would those two teams be? Best offensive and defensive.
I think this is an easy – yeah, great question. I love that question, actually. That is almost like a trick question for me. I think this matchup, I'm about to tell you, has more storylines than a soap opera called Days of Our Lives. I think if you matched up the Florida State Seminoles offense against the Alabama's defense, I think it would be the end of Twitter. I think
yeah.
It would probably implode, trash talk. You got storylines just everywhere. You could, you know, obviously you got Saban versus Jimbo. Of course, he was at LSU with Saban. That would be a treat, obviously, to see maybe one of the better offensive minds, and again, certainly a future Hall of Famer, Nick Saban. But I would rank the Florida State offense personally as the best in college football, and I think not just this year, but if you go off the past 5 years, I think Alabama is a clear-cut best defensive team. I think Landon Collins is arguably the best safety in America, and Ashawn Robinson off the edge. Maybe Alabama's best pass rusher we've seen, along with Marcel Darius in the Saban era. So I think their defense will be outstanding. We know about their loaded linebackers that just reload. So, and of course, you got that little storyline of Jake Coker was Winston's backup, and now he's, of course, Winston from Alabama, and now Coker's at Alabama. So that would be a great storyline as well. But FSU offense, Bama defense, it's going to happen, I think, sometime soon. Maybe you have to wait a few years, but that would be quite the treat that everybody in America would love to see, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That would be a nice one, and even me being an Auburn fan, I would like to see that.
Yeah, so. Jason and I go back and forth, Dan, on Alabama's quarterback situation. You know, they're like he's ranked as the number one breakout player, and of course, you know, Jason being an Auburn fan as he is, you know, he's a kid haven't even taken a snap yet, you know, and all the hype that goes along with him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Certainly, we've seen Blake Sims. Saban's recently said he's taken some first rep teams, and certainly Coker's had his share. So it's kind of everybody's got their own opinion. Most people still lean with Coker, but I think you're going to see that non-conference likely going to decide a lot. Whoever can come right in and light up the scoreboard, because they're going to be laying some haymakers against those teams. And I'd even argue they might beat up Florida early on. So you can kind of see the first month. Whoever can, it may, you know, there's actually, I think, a decisive winner of that quarterback gig, maybe until early October, but certainly the first few games will tell us, regardless of who gets to start against West Virginia.
Exactly. Hey, Dan, you know, always at the beginning of football season, you got some coaches, you know, that may be, you know, on the invariable lack, on the hot seat, as we say. In your mind, who do you think's on the hot seat possibly this year, and what are they going to have to do to keep their job?
Yeah, I think the number one coach, and he's been one of the better offseason stories, at least this program has, is Will Muschamp. And it's remarkable what he did 2 years ago to get to that Sugar Bowl and almost play for a national title. But he's, you know, he's a hell of a defensive coach, but last year was certainly abysmal. The first losing season since 79, first non-bowl since 1990. And Jeff Driscoll should improve under Kurt Roper, former OC of Duke, and like they're going to need some help. I think Quentin Dunbar or Andre DeBoe or DeMarcus Robinson's loaded with talent, but he was suspended last year. So somebody has to step up. It's not like, you know, good teams don't have good receivers. All the top teams in the country are loaded at skill position. And I would argue last year was just atrocious to watch the Florida Gators. If their offense would have had a pulse, they probably would have won 7 games in their sleep. But unfortunately, it was hard to complete a forward pass sometimes for the Florida Gators. A lot of that was without Jeff Driscoll. His injury against Tennessee was big. So I think the Florida Gators could be in trouble if their offense can't really take the next step. I would not be surprised if we see Will Muschamp get canned before their Georgia game, which is, you know, November 1st is that game. I think Florida goes 7-5, loses their bowl game, goes 7-6. I don't think Muschamp even lasts till November. So I think that Alabama-Tennessee game, I believe that is off a bye after Alabama. They get Tennessee on the road. If they lose both those games, they have two losses before mid-October. That could spell the end of Will Muschamp. And if he could survive to Georgia and he doesn't have a big win, I think there's a chance they could cut ties to him. But he's got to win at least, I would argue, 9 games to save his job. I think 8 would be cutting it close. But it's going to be tough because they've had one of the worst schedules in the country in terms of difficulty. And my last few guys looking at the ACC, I think Mike London, it was just awful the last 2 years with Virginia. And certainly it's not quite the same as it was back in the day where they give a coach a few years. He's gone 2-14 in the ACC in 2 years. I'm not sure they win one game this year in conference, that is. And then in the Big 12, I think this could be the end of perhaps Charlie Weiss or Paul Rhodes. Those football programs expect their teams to be half as good as their basketball ones, and 8-9 wins is what some of them want, or at least 6 wins to get into a bowl. And it's hard to get 6-7 wins, guys, when you can't even win more than 1 or 2 games in conference. So I think those guys are pretty much all on the hot seat entering the season.
Hey, I would agree with all those with you, Dan. You know, Charlie Weiss has really, from my standpoint, I remember when he was the offensive coordinator, you know, at New England Patriots, and he was the hottest thing coming into Notre Dame, and that was a flop. And then, you know, he certainly has not set the woods on fire at Kansas either. So I've really been disappointed in what he's done as a head coach.
Yeah, it was amazing what he did at Notre Dame, going to the Fiesta Bowl against the Buckeyes. They did lose that game, of course, and they bounced back with Brady Quinn, had another good year, and then they got ambushed by Jamarcus Russell and LSU in the Bayou Bengals' backyard in the Sugar Bowl, and since then he's not even sniffed a BCS caliber bowl, certainly not caliber players getting to Kansas. But I think they might win a few games this year, but you know, anything more than 4-8 would be pretty shocking, and that could be the end of the Charlie Weiss era at Kansas.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hey, Dan, before we wrap it up today, we've got to ask you, with all the talk and the news concerning paying players for their likeness, the use of their jersey number and so forth, what's your thoughts on that? Is this the opening of Pandora's box, a box that we can't close?
Yeah, I think it might be. I think it's just, you know, paying players has been as popular of a topic, and it's really grown over the last few off seasons. And I think some people blame Johnny Manziel of so much he's brought to college football lately with just the increased revenue he's given Texas A&M, for example. And I think the BCS conferences will soon be able to give another, maybe perhaps a stipend or a bigger amount to programs and BCS conferences that, you know, continue to make money for their schools that don't get to see a dime, which I think something that would be fair in my books, or something realistic in my mind, maybe that, you know, maybe not necessarily during college, but maybe after they graduate from the NFL or get their degree, maybe whatever that program made over that likeness of their name, maybe they can get something, whether it's a percentage or whatever it may be, something when they're gone, when they need it, certainly. If you know, football doesn't turn out and they can't get a, you know, plan B out there, if really they were, you know, decided they want to play in the NFL, but something, they get something from their likeness and their name that they brought to the university. And certainly, many people have different opinions, and I think it's great that you get a free education, but sometimes that's just, some players I've spoken to, that just, it's just not enough. And I even work with a former player, and he says that, you know, it's just not easy. There's certain families that are in desperate need of money, and sometimes money goes away quickly, you know, it always comes and goes. So I think it's a fluid situation overall. It's always changing, and a lot still to be cleared up. It's no doubt very important. I think with just a few weeks away from kickoff here until the new year starts, new college football season, that is, will likely be discussed even more next offseason.
Great point, Dan. Hey, I got one more for you. Don't you go out on the limb, tell me who's going to win the Heisman.
Oh, yeah, that's every year. I had Jameis Winston not win it, but I thought he was going to get invited to New York. I thought Marcus Mariota was my favorite to win it last year, and he's certainly, I think, one of the top dogs out there. And I think that Jameis Winston's right there as well. But my pick, I think, is Braxton Miller this year. He only needs 715 more yards rushing to become the all-time number 2 rusher in Ohio State Buckeye history, of course, well behind Archie Griffin. He had a couple of good years, winning 2 Heisman as the only player. But he's also going to likely become the number 2 passer in Ohio State history. So, and certainly a lot has to do with playing for, you know, that's going to be his 4th season, and he's gotten some big-time starts the last 2 years. having not lost ever a regular season game in terms of the last 2 years. She played some in the freshman year, but I think I just love their chances to win the Big Ten title and to get to the college football playoff. And maybe he's not the most exciting or the best player in college football. Many people have their own definition of what the Heisman is, but you got to succeed in your spotlight games. You kind of got to necessarily be old, you know, you got to be exciting. And Jameis Winston was a new guy that many people were interested in last year, and he certainly wowed us. And Brad Miller's been around us a little bit, but they got some big-time games. Virginia Tech early is decent, but they get Michigan State at the end of the season. And as always, it's important to play in December, and if they're in the Big Ten championship game against Nebraska, Wisconsin, or highly-ranked Iowa, perhaps, and he continues to carry the team on his back without Carlos Hyde, who's now competing with the 49ers, I love his chances to potentially win the Heisman. But as we know, your guess is as good as mine, because the Heisman, it's always pretty tricky every year. But I'll go with Brex Miller. Certainly he's got some favorable odds, but I like his chances this season.
Hey, not a bad guess or bet or whatever you want to call it. I would have to agree with you on that. I don't think Jameis is a repeat.
That's for entertainment purposes
only. Yeah, for
only.
Entertainment yeah. purposes only.
Every bet on this show, Dan, is for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, Dan, once again, you amaze us with your knowledge, and can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking this time out of your busy schedule to join us each week. And we look forward to talking to you next week as we get 1 week closer.
You got it. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Folks, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back at 5:30. Rex Chambers joining us, Ronnie, and you're going to do a fishing segment. I'm going to eat some crack.
I hear you.
We'll be right back.
Men, no shaving proposition beats this. Listen. There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless, wins you in a flash. Yes, $1 cash says this is it for the clean, smooth, comfortable shaves you've always wanted. And here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. There's no matting down. There is no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth.
Try Colgate Brushless. See how it does away with razor scrape and soreness. Discover how slick and smooth and downright comfortable it makes your shave.
Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. If 1 week's use doesn't win you completely, just send me back the carton top and we'll mail you your dollar. Address, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. Remember, there's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Real fine.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, brushless or lather, boys, whichever you the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, a dollar for the lotion.
Old Spice means quality, said the captain to the bosun. So look for the package with the ship that sails the ocean. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Live 23 Sports Talk Live on a Thursday afternoon, and Ronnie, once again, wow. Dan Vosta is the man with the knowledge.
Dan the man.
I'm telling you, he can rattle it all faster than anyone I've heard, and he knows his stuff.
And I agreed with most of what he said today. The Braxton Miller kind of caught me off guard there. So
actually, that is one of my top picks. I don't see Jameis doing it again. I think Braxton Miller is one of my top two. I don't think, believe it or not, I don't think Nick Marshall does it. If he had any chance at all, I think he blew that up with the smoke that the marijuana went
up
with.
Yes, I agree. I don't think he has a Chinaman's chance of winning.
I don't
think
he had much of a chance anyway, but what little chance he had went up with the marijuana smoke.
Do you think Braxton Miller has a legitimate shot?
I think he does.
I thought about him, but I, you know,
and I think he can make big numbers due to their schedule.
Oh,
me and you could beat half the teams on their schedule.
That's right. Take me and you, my two boys, Joe and Tyler, and just pick up a few more, and we'd
right.
be very
get
competitive.
Get us a couple of linemen, and we
get
could
a,
compete
get
with
us
a lot
a pair of
teams.
Pants that would fit.
Yeah.
We'd be in business. Don't ask me to get down in a stance, though. I won't get back up.
And you know what happens when you get leads? Stats are padded, and yes. I think they will pad some stats big time.
I agree. But I tell you, the kid, I don't think Jameson Winston wins it again.
Oh, I don't either.
I think Mariota from Oregon wins it.
Yeah, that's
going to be my
pick.
That's
a good possibility, too.
You know, and maybe a lot of people around here, they don't see him. You know, being in Oregon, you know, maybe we don't see that many games or you don't keep up with them.
Right.
This kid is a pure talent. Okay. I would hate to try to defend him.
How hard is it for somebody who is not a quarterback or a running back to win the Heisman Trophy now?
Well, I think it's virtually impossible now.
You know, we had the circumstance when Peyton Manning was skipped over for the Heisman.
Yeah.
Don't see that happening anymore.
It's no. Just,
it's a quarterback, running back award.
It is. And, you know, it's, certainly you won't see a defensive player win it.
No.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
But as we talked about earlier, the guys that are getting skipped over for this award are actually the guys who are making the trenches.
Oh, you got – sure.
These guys don't make those numbers without the big beef up front.
So. Oh, that's the truth. Without those linemen – those offensive linemen, you could forget. You know, you forget skill, the skill people, because they're never. You know,
yeah.
I mean, as soon as it snapped, it'd basically be about like when Brody was a quarterback.
Yeah,
Brody
Croll. Honk, have you sacked Brody?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's basically the way it'd be every week. So it was terrible.
Hey, folks, going to remind you again, shows are available on demand about 30 minutes after the show at live95coleman.com. Check out Live 95 on Facebook or look it up on the show's website, our website, or our Facebook page. You can go on there, click on, stream the show, listen to the shows on demand, any way you want to listen to it. Twitter.
That's at?
At Coleman Sports.
At Coleman Sports.
At Coleman Sports.
That's tweet Jason, and he'll get it. I don't get it. I don't have a smartphone. But he will.
Hey, I tell you what, the first person to tweet me is a $10 winner. First person to tweet me and just say Roll Tide or War Eagle, either one. I just want to see who's listening.
The first person to tweet you.
I've got a $10 bill that will go in their hand.
Oh my goodness. You know, hey, I'll bet you lunch that it will be an Alabama fan.
I bet you're probably right. Hey, we're getting close to 5:30, almost time for Rex Chambers. And I think I don't know. There's so many phones rings around here. I don't know. I'm afraid to say that,
hey,
Rex. But.
We'll find out in just a minute if that is Rex. But if it is, we won't go to another break. We'll just cue Mr. Rex in so he can give us a local fishing report. But we'll find out here shortly if that is Rex. But, again, Dan is the man.
Oh, no question about it.
So.
Okay,
that
we do
Rex.
Have Rex on
He's
the line, so folks, let's go to Rex Chambers, going to tell us a little bit about fishing.
Hey, Rex, are you with us, man?
I'm here, brother.
Hey, tell me what's going on.
Oh, a little breeze, a little cooler weather.
Boy, does it not feel nice out there?
Did you smell the football in there?
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. You stole my thunder, Rex. I was going to ask you the exact same thing.
There ain't nothing like coming out late August and walking out on the porch in the morning and smelling football.
Boy, it is so close. A couple of weeks away, and we'll all be sitting back in our recliners. Of course, Jason over here, you know, he's one of these season ticket owners, so he'll be down at the Plains, you know, every time they play at home. So
there we go.
People like me, you know, it's on fixed income. I have to watch it on TV.
I end up having to listen to most of mine on the radio in a boat.
I know. Yeah, yeah. That goes along with your work, doesn't it?
I either have to listen to it while I'm out on the water or record it and hope I don't get an earful at the wave.
Oh, me. Well, hey, Rex, what has, we've had a cooler temperature just the last few days and we've had some rain. What has that done to the fish, if anything?
Well, I didn't get to go the last 2 days, but apparently the little cold front that come through on Tuesday night turned them on the river anyway. I had a couple of buddies that really had great days yesterday. One of my guide buddies caught like 25 on a trip.
Well, that's a good day.
Another one of my Decatur friends, he had like 18 fish yesterday up on Gunnersville. So it's it's really picked up. I'm hoping so. I think I might get out the next couple of 3 days.
Yeah. Do you think has it cooled the water a little bit because of the?
Yeah. Water temps hitting the low 80s right now. It's to the high 80s. So, 83 to 85.
Yeah.
What the water temp is. It's better than what, usually this time of year it's about 90, 92. So.
Right.
It's a lot better.
Yeah. Are the fish, are they still basically holding where they were?
They are. Yeah. Fish are shallow. The majority of them are being caught on top waters and swim baits. I say shallow, I'm talking, eight feet and above.
Right.
And they're like I said, the Tennessee River fish are really biting. I haven't heard a lot of reports on Smith this week. But they usually follow suit. It's cooler weather. It really turns them on. I did want to tell everybody, though, that on August 30th, the West Point, I think it's their junior varsity or middle school volleyball team, is going to do a tournament on Smith Lake, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. out of Smith Lake Park. So,
okay.
They're gonna. It's a fundraiser. I think they're guaranteeing like either $1,000 or $1,500 first place. So.
Okay. Hey, Rex. Sometime if you can shoot that to me on a text, then we will just every day on or every Tuesday and Thursday on the show, we will mention that too. So.
That'll work good because there, like I said, just a fundraiser on Smith Lake. Smith don't have a whole lot of tournaments this time of year,
right.
So. That'd be one for all our Smith Lake guys to get out and enjoy.
I got you. Yeah, we will announce that. Until the tournament, so maybe there'll be a few other folks can get in it and help those kids out.
That would be great.
Yeah, and I got my son. He loves to fish out at Katoma. I got a little Katoma rig, and he sent me a text a few minutes ago. He said, "Hey, tell Rex that the bass they're just tearing the shad up on top right on the."
Well, I'm missing that.
Yeah. So he's probably going crazy out there in that little boat, throwing up in those shads.
I may get to venture out there next week sometime.
Yeah. So, but he said make sure. Yeah, he wanted you to know that they're busting in the shed.
Well, that's good. Maybe he'll catch a bunch.
I sure hope so. But what are they catching them on? Is it still basically the same thing, Rex, or is that pattern change?
It's mainly top water and swim bait such as bull shad and then. The flipping bite on Gunnersville, especially the flipping bite's turning on in the grass. It's not great. It should be, but it's not.
The grass is not great.
No, the flipping bite. The shallow flipping bite, just to pitch it and flip it in the hole.
Yeah.
So you can get 3 or 4 or 5 bites a day, but usually that's a 15-20 bite a day deal, and it's just not there yet. But any day that should really turn on. And of course, it's the night fishing on Smith Lake's all. Spinnerbaits and jigs still, so
right.
That's what everybody tells me. They're really, really tearing them up on spinnerbaits and jigs. Everybody you talk to, that's all they're catching them on.
Yeah. So. Do you know anything about, Pickwick or, Wheeler, Wilson, any
of
those?
Well, Wilson, I actually got a chance to go to Wilson last week, and it was slow for us, but it had been good.
For
smallmouth and current.
Yeah.
And Pickwick, I talked to one of my guy friends, Brent Crow, that does a guide service, and we had a trip on Pickwick yesterday and said they caught several smallmouth. So.
Yeah, boy, there's nothing quite like a smallmouth.
Oh, it's great. Especially when they're in the current, it is fun.
Absolutely, man! I love catching those things. There's no bellying up with those things.
You better have ate your Wheaties up.
That's exactly right. That's it, Rex. Well, hey, Rex, thanks, man, for giving us a call and giving us a report. Hope you continue to do well, and I hope you get out there and, get to do some fishing, and hopefully everybody will stay safe on the lakes.
Hey, everybody stay safe. We had a wreck on Sunday morning on Gunnersville, and it was just one of those senseless deals. Fortunately, nobody was hurt really
nobody
bad.
Hurt. Yeah.
And I say just watching out for the other boaters.
Exactly. Well, hey, thanks, Rex. We appreciate it, man.
All right.
Talk to
one.
You soon. Okay. Bye bye. Hey, we were going to take a short break. Remember, the show is available on demand about 30 minutes after the show at live95coleman.com. Check out Live95 on Facebook or see us on the show's website at our website or our Facebook. Sports Talk Live. We'll be back in a break in just a second.
Even if you brush in a rut, Brit fluoride toothpaste starts instant action against tooth decay.
Brisk. B-R-I-S-K. Brisk.
When you are late and in a rush to clean your teeth, do you really brush or do you just brush in a rush? Brisk helps protect you from decay, starts instant action right away. Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste.
You should brush your teeth thoroughly, but when you have to, brush in a rush. Brisk fluoride toothpaste starts instant action against tooth decay, helps strengthen tooth enamel on contact, instantly destroys most bacteria that cause mouth odor and decay.
Even if you brush in a rush, Brisk fluoride toothpaste.
Choose Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Clean pots and pans just like a whiz.
Ajax cuts grease faster than any other leading cleanser.
Do some pain, the elbow tax, when you start cleaning with Ajax.
Ajax really polishes as it cleans.
So use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Bump the dirt right down the drain.
My gosh, they're right. Foaming action Ajax makes even the dirtiest pan shine like new in a jiffy.
So use Ajax!
Waiter! Waiter! Bill, did you ever see such poor service? I'm going to call the manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your grouch.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes. And you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed. Get them at any drugstore, only 25 cents.
It's that time again for Out in Left Field. Ronnie, stories always coming across the wires.
Never know what you're going to come across.
And today's stories, while not in the same caliber as the hornet's nest and the man chewing on glass.
That's right. Or the man with no clothes riding a tricycle, wanting to eat glass. Yeah, we don't have any quite of that caliber, but we've got some that's, you know, they're out there in the park. You can see the lights on.
Hey, the first lady out in left field, is a Brandenton, I guess is how you pronounce it, woman who was charged with battery after chunking a bowl of ramen noodles at a victim. Now, that's crazy enough, but after you hear why the argument started, it even gets crazy.
Ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Dollar a pack.
That's it, baby. You can get them at any grocery store.
Yeah, so. Dollar General
next
anywhere.
Next time you want to assault somebody, there's the place. Don't go buy the gun, the knife.
No.
Just get the noodles.
Get a pack of noodles.
Hey, and those are pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Anything that cheap can't be good for you.
That's right. You got that right.
But this lady is 25, was arrested at 1:44 Sunday afternoon at a mobile home park. No need to say the address because nobody will know where it's at anyway. It's not in this town. But according to the report, this lady was using the pool at the victim's mobile home park, and deputies say she was not following the rules. The victim reminded her and asked her to leave the pool because she had left her children alone at the pool, and this is the main part. She asked her to please not pick the lice off of her kids' heads while at the pool. The lady was, now get this, she was sitting there eating these noodles and picking lice off of her kids' heads while at the swimming pool.
You probably wouldn't see her at Terry Pines Country Club, would you?
Not for long, anyway.
She's picking like a chicken.
And you know, the first thing that pops in my mind, you go to the zoo
and
watch monkeys. The monkeys.
Little spider monkeys. Yeah, they grooming one another, aren't they? Oh, that'll take your appetite away.
Oh, yeah. But luckily for the victim, it did not cause any injuries, and Popper, the lady who was picking the lice and throwing the noodles, was released from jail on Monday on $500 bond.
Yeah, if you could tweet her, I know all she's got to do to get rid of that lice is she can dip her head in burnt motor oil. That's not enough to take care of. And it's like mange. It's the same difference.
Hey, folks, you can't see picture, but I'm fixing to show it to Ronnie. Now, this is a head of hair, I'm telling you.
Oh, my goodness. She spent a lot of time at the beauty shop getting that done, hadn't she?
Hey, you could wring the oil out of
that.
Oh,
you got to. I've seen horses with a lot prettier manes than that. That's terrible. Hey, I got one here for you, Jason. I'm not going to call the title of it out because that would kind of give it away. A British air accident had recounted how a pilot lost control of a passenger plane after his artificial limb became detached during landing. The report says the incident took place in Birmingham in England, carrying 47 passengers, was approaching Belfast City Airport in gusty conditions. Well, this is it back in February. The 46-year-old pilot had shortly before checked. I can't even read it. The 46-year-old pilot had shortly before checked his prosthetic lower left arm was securely attached to the yoke clamp. I don't know what that is. But as he performed a maneuver just before touchdown, the limb became detached. The air accident investigation branch said Thursday that he had moved his right hand to the yoke to regain control. Listen to this sentence. Yeah. Winds caused the plane to land heavily with a bounce. Yeah, right. Yeah. No one was hurt in the accident. Here is my question to you, Jason. You're a smart man. You own your own business. Why would you hire a one-armed pilot? What if he was flying a little small commuter plane that does not separate the passengers from the cockpit, and that guy on the first row of the seats saw his all that arm fall in the floor? You think there might be some screaming when he leaves? It's like the movie Airplane.
I would be holding his head down from the grab it with his mouth or something, you know. We're going to land this plane.
Oh, my goodness.
I would be attaching it.
I'd be putting it somewhere.
I would have my cordless screwdriver out.
I'd be putting it somewhere, wouldn't you?
We're sick.
You might be squealing like a pig, but we're going to put that hand to that arm somewhere.
Folks, we never said this show was politically correct.
Oh, no, absolutely.
There's somebody, some poor lady sitting out in Coleman right now said, you know, they're making fun of one-armed people.
And I'm fixing to go over and beat them with it. We'll get Jay to lock
We're not
door.
Making fun of one-armed
no,
people.
No,
we're,
no.
We're just laughing at the fact it's a pilot.
It's a pilot. Yeah. I mean, what if he'd been two? What if it's a double amputee?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? Drive it with your feet?
Okay. Oh, on to other news. Once again.
I don't know what the airline was. So
I think it was Delta.
Delta, when their slogan Delta, they'll get you there.
In one piece.
In one piece.
A Florida man is facing battery charges after allegedly assaulting his wife with a turkey
arm?
Neck.
Oh, with a turkey neck. I thought he pulled his arm off and was beating her.
He was arrested last Thursday after he got into a verbal argument with his wife when she wouldn't let him have the checkbook. And that will cause some arguments.
Well, I don't think there's a married man out there that has a checkbook.
When I think Milady's wife tried to walk away, cops say he grabbed a turkey neck from the counter, struck her in the neck then threw it at her as she retreated.
He flogged her, didn't he?
Yeah. Authorities said he admitted to throwing the turkey neck at his wife, but did not recall striking her with it. He was arrested on domestic battery and released on $1,000 bond in order not to go near his wife.
Again.
And once again, the picture was a thousand words, folks. You're missing the pictures. But
wearing her out with a turkey neck.
Hey.
Boy, he's a nasty. He's looking guy.
You think of a lot of assault weapons. Has a turkey neck ever entered your mind?
No, I don't, I wonder if...
If you were going to whip Karen, would you...
use a turkey neck.
Would you go to pick me with me and pick up some turkey neck?
You hang on like it back from the pig with a turkey neck. I'm going to wear your gourd out.
No, I got one more right now. I don't know if you got any more or not.
No, I don't. I could have, but I don't.
This one is getting so old, it's really not even funny anymore, but just to remind people
of what's happened in the past. History, what is that? History will repeat itself if we don't learn from it.
And this time it's just another creature.
We haven't learned, have we?
No.
Because it's repeated
still not
itself.
Learning. In fact, this is the second house in a week to be burned down. This man has... The headline says, man sets his house on fire trying to kill ants.
Ants.
This time. Not a spider as before, but ants.
Yeah.
He set the house on fire trying to get rid of ants and a nest of ants by dousing it with petroleum and then lighting it. Now, hey, not a rocket scientist.
No, not a rocket scientist. And I don't believe anybody that burns their house down trying to kill an insect is a rocket scientist.
But you pour gasoline on anything and light it.
It's going to burn.
It's going to burn.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
So authorities put out the flame fairly quickly. Didn't burn his...
Oh, it didn't burn it completely
didn't burn
down.
The house completely down, but did do a lot of
damage. Wonder if it's
damage.
Carpenter ants.
It probably... Maybe they'll build him a house back.
Let the carpenter ant do the remodel project.
Oh, my
goodness. Hey, that's the third one, isn't it?
Third one.
You know what you could do? You could probably add all their IQs together and you get 12.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. But you remember the one story said he was otherwise an intelligent man.
Otherwise, yeah, that's a lie. There was no truth in that whatsoever. None. Zero.
Hey, on a serious note, Ronnie.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we've got to get serious. I'm going to remind folks again about tonight, the Hop and Shop in downtown Coleman, Johnny's Barbecue, and will be next to Rumors Deli from 6 to 8. Hey, Johnny's got some good barbecue.
He does, actually. I had a sandwich today.
You sorry, dog.
I had it brought to me.
Okay. You're excused.
I had no transportation. I rode a bus to work.
But the short bus.
Holy God. Literally, you got that right.
Oh. They will be on the patio area of Rumors. Come by and get a barbecue sandwich and listen to some music. Round 2 will be there tonight. Performing live. So that tonight
that
in Coleman.
That is at Rumors Deli.
Rumors Deli. Rumors and Johnny's.
I've hooked up.
Joining
Does that
up.
Mean all the department, the stores and stuff down there will be open, I wonder?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
We'll have to go above our head to get more information than that.
Yeah. Jay may have more for us on that.
Hey, real quick before we close it out for the week, Ronnie, top quarterbacks in the SEC.
Coker.
Yeah, how did I guess that? Let's see where he's rated. Hey, number 22, you haven't called in today, so if you're listening, your quarterback for this year is rated number 7.
Number 7?
Actually higher than I thought he would be.
Well, whoever did this, whoever made these picks after week one, that probably will change.
Oh yeah, he'll probably move up to six. let's go through them right quick.
Yeah.
Number 14, Patrick Towles or Towles, Kentucky. Patton Robinette, Vanderbilt. Number 13. Number 12, Brandon Allen, Arkansas. Number 11, Josh Dobbs, Tennessee. And Tennessee needs some help. I mean,
Boy. They
need a quarterback about number two or three. So.
They do. But, you know, one little Colin Cowherd that picked Tennessee to beat Alabama this year?
I think so. And I've got Ole Miss picked, and I like what
I thought
Dan
about that
said.
when he said that was his dark horse was Ole Miss. I thought, Jason picked them to beat Bama too.
Yeah, that was just a wild guess out of mine and hopeful, wishful thinking. Number 10, Brandon Harris, LSU. I feel like I'm calling out the All County Awards. Number 9, and anytime it says or. What are they doing at number 9? Kenny Hill or Kyle Allen at Texas A&M, number 9.
They're going to flip a coin for it? rock, paper, scissors?
Jacob Coker, number 7, hey, Alabama.
There you go.
Number
taking
6,
a snap.
Jeff Driscoll, Florida. Number 5.
Good quarterback, can you stay healthy?
Dylan Thompson, South Carolina. Number 4, Dak Prescott. How do you pronounce that first name?
That's it. That's Mississippi
guess.
State, isn't it?
Yep, Mississippi State.
Big, strong-looking kid.
Number 3, Matty Mock, Missouri.
I know why you're going over it now.
Number 2, there's down to 2, and it's Bo Wallace and Nick Marshall.
Bo Wallace is 2.
Bo Wallace is number 2. The
Ole
number
Miss.
1 quarterback in the SEC, Nick Marshall of Auburn.
Well, that tells me one thing, maybe more than one. Nick Marshall... potentially a pretty good quarterback. The second thing it tells me is the SEC is not – their strength this year is not at the quarterback position.
Yeah, you're right. I'll give you that.
You know, I mean, how many would lose the NFL?
You
five?
You can't argue with Nick Marshall's numbers last
somebody,
year.
No, you can't, but somebody's got to be number one.
That's right. So. It might as well be Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. If you got anything you want to say before the end of the week, you better give us a call.
You better do it now.
Because
hey, has anybody got that $10?
Last time I checked, nobody's tweeted.
Nobody has tweeted you.
So, Kathy, if you're listening, go ahead and tweet, and you can collect the $10.
I go say and tell my kids they're out there. Tweet, Jason.
Folks, going to a break. We'll be right back. The number 256-737-9951.
Gentlemen, well, by now we're getting a bit used to winter. We're like soldiers in the middle of a campaign, growing hardened to discomfort and better able to take it, and looking with longing toward the day when the war is won and there'll be plenty of everything again, including that good Olga coal. But like good soldiers, we can't afford to let down now that victory is in sight. We must work harder than ever to get every bit of heat from the coal we get, make it go further and use less. We must figuratively tighten the belts on our coal bins and wade into old man winter with a little less fuel and a little more heat from every ton. That can help make Hitler's ghost walk.
Okay, coming into the last 5 or 6 minutes of the show, Ronnie.
Coming down the home stretch.
Still no winner. Oh, I just knocked my knee plumb.
Nearly knocked
out of
it. Turned
socket.
The table over.
5:55.
FCC edit. No, I'm kidding.
We could have used it. Hey, remind everyone about the show on demand one more time, Ronnie.
Yeah, our show will be on demand about 30 minutes. After we're finished, they can go to live95cullman.com, and they can scroll. Well, I don't have to scroll. They can just see where it says show on demand, and then they can select this week's or today's or any other day that they want to listen to and listen to the show in its entirety or just a small segment, whatever they want to do.
If you want to just hear the news, the top news in the world, that's
right.
The place to
if
go.
You,
forget
right.
Fox News, CNN.
And, hey, you know... that's a good point. With some of the news we're giving, I think we're going to give Bill O'Reilly a run for his money.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
I think we'll take his spot on Fox.
I mean, everybody in the nation is covering the Robin Williams story.
Yeah.
The tragic accident with Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
But we are covering stuff that's going to make people smile, make the world a little better place.
We're covering the everyday man.
That's right.
Or woman.
And most of it coming out of Florida.
So. That's right. We're covering real life situations, real life family issues.
So next week we're going to try to line up Mr. Rick Carley, Fox 6. Hopefully we can get him in Tuesday or Thursday.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
And let's tell everyone, don't forget, the 28th we will be at Grumpy's.
We will be at Grumpy's 4 until 7.
4 until 7. Be doing a 3-hour shift that night. Another announcement I've not even told you about, the cornhole tournament, the 23rd. Going to have to cancel that out because of a lack of place to play. Still not been able to find a place.
All right.
So maybe we can do that in the future. Had some disappointed cornhole players this morning when I told them about it. But, hey, if you've got a place you know of that we can have a tournament, give us a call.
Absolutely. Give us a call. Let us know either by, on Facebook or tweet us and let us know if you know of a spot that we can have it and, we can make it happen. So we need your help out there if you want to play a little cornhole.
Okay, one more time, live95coleman.com for the, live on demand.
Yeah.
Okay, you can check out our Facebook at Coleman Sports on Twitter. Is there anything I'm leaving out?
I feel like
I'm leaving out something.
No, I think you've covered it.
Okay. Still no winner on the $10. It's going to close here in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'll save that $10 and take it with me.
We're going to have to call Craig Green down.
Yeah, I was looking at this big green clock on your screen. I'm thinking, they got 2 minutes to fill. Uh-oh. Phones are ringing.
That's Cindy Wilson. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I would have bet my paycheck that Cindy would have won.
But
it's not a caller. It's a tweet. Has to be a tweet.
To be a tweet. Yeah. No call. Okay. Well, that changes the complexion just a little
bit. Will we have any volleyball next week? I'm not sure. We'll be checking on that. If we do, we'll be reporting some volleyball.
Yeah, we're reporting the scores and let us know who won from the local volleyball. But it is time. School is back in session. It's either next week or the week after. When volleyball starts, but it's real soon, after school gets back in session.
1 week from today, we got a tweet. Cindy Wilson on the line. Cindy, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
What is this tweet?
I don't have a Twitter account.
Oh, Cindy. Gotta have Twitter. I was worried about you, and Ronnie had thought something had happened to you.
I was going to call Craig Green down City Police and have him to dispatch a car because we thought something happened to you.
You miss me, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. We knew something had gone wrong at your house.
Well, I put it on your Facebook page and tagged Jason in it. I was hoping y'all would see it, but, I had to call in. I figured y'all might be lonely.
Yeah, I appreciate the information you give me on the Alabama-Auburn Legends, too.
Oh, it's no problem. When I first seen it, I thought about you.
Yeah, anytime you run across anything, throw it our way.
I will. I want y'all to throw some clues my way.
There you go.
Hey, listen to us Tuesday. We'll have a revamped Where's Moolah.
Hey, I'm listening every day.
All right.
Great.
Thanks, Cindy.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, folks, time to wrap it up for another week, Ronnie. I've enjoyed it. It's been real and it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun.
Not yet, but it will as soon as college football gets started.
Hey, it's going
to
be great.
And we have to leave the show in the only good way possible, and that's with a big Roll Tide.
Oh, no, we got to say War Eagle.
All right, Roll Tide.
War Eagle, we'll see you next week.
follow. Ain't no sign but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I'm standing on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, the bullet shred to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah. See it.
Live 95, WRJM-LP, Coleman.
Lying in the park on a beautiful day, sunshine in the grass, and my children play. Sirens passing, fire engine red, someone's house is burning.